Sound Edition presents All You Can Do Is All You Can Do, But All You Can Do Is Enough by A.L. Williams. Read for you by the author.
All you can do is all you can do, but all you can do is enough. Do you know these people? They come from a privileged background. They're the pretty people. They're the lead of society. They've gone to the best Ivy League schools, probably Harvard or Yale. They're tall, slim, handsome. They succeed at everything they do, from tennis to business. Everything about them is perfect. But you know what? You know what's discouraging about this picture? Those people are nothing like you and me. Let me paint you a different picture. Imagine a guy who's kind of short. He looks very ordinary. If you saw him on the street, nothing would make you turn and stare. He's always watching his weight because he loves to eat, especially sweets. He was an average student, not very good in math, a terrible speller. He comes from an average family and was born and reared in a little town in South Georgia. He was a fair high school athlete, but he doesn't even know how to play tennis. He's not nearly as exciting as the first person I described, but you feel a little bit more comfortable with him, right? He probably sounds a little bit more like somebody you know pretty well, yourself. But you know what? The guy I just described, me, Art Williams, runs one of the fastest growing companies in America today. A company with over $96 billion of individual life insurance placed in force in 1988, with offices in 49 states, Puerto Rico, Guam, and Canada. I started my own company at age 33 and became a millionaire at age 37. My company, A.O. Williams, has produced more executives with six-figure incomes and more millionaires in its 10-year history than any company in American business. How can that be? How can somebody like me, who only a few years ago was a high school football coach in Columbus, Georgia, making $10,700 a year, ever make it big in corporate America? I figured out some secrets to winning, and I discovered some methods that work for ordinary people like me, people whose only credentials are a willingness to work and a burning desire to be somebody. Folks, if you were put on this earth to do something special with your life, if you're always on fire, if you just can't stand being average and ordinary, if you want to be somebody so bad you can't stand it, even though everybody says you're not supposed to feel that way, this tape is for you. Take these principles to heart and get ready to change your life in 30 days. Folks, this ain't pie in the sky, and I'm not saying it's easy. In fact, I'm saying it's going to be tough. Changing your thinking and your action never is easy, but I'm saying it's worth it. The title, All You Can Do Is All You Can Do, represents an underlying theme. It's one of the biggest revelations I ever had on my path to becoming somebody special. They represent my realization that you don't have to be a genius to do something great with your life and become financially independent. You don't have to be the person the magazine ads. You've got to be you, but you've got to be the very best you possibly can be. I realize that all you can do is all you can do. But I also discovered that all you can do is enough. See, I believe with everything that's in me that everybody wants to be somebody. It's a fact of life. I believe the desire to be somebody is inherent in every living soul on this planet. When we're young, playing cowboys and Indians, everybody wants to be the sheriff. Kids watch TV and they want to be an astronaut, or a quarterback, or a ballerina, or a doctor. They watch the Olympics and they want to be the skiers or the figure skaters. They want to win a gold medal. All kids are dreamers. It's as natural to them as breathing. Then what happens? What goes wrong once they become adults? Why are so many people so disillusioned? It's pretty simple, really. They graduate from high school or college, and the big bad world slaps them in the face. They change jobs three or four times. Companies promise them everything and don't deliver anything. They get more and more frustrated. They get married and have a couple of kids. They get more responsibilities. Then one day they wake up, roll out of bed, and think, life has passed me by. Life has dealt me a bad hand. These people are no longer vibrant, excited, pumped up human beings. The people who once wanted to go out and conquer the world have given up. They've developed an attitude that life's dealt me a bad hand. Instead of feeling like they have choices and options in their lives, They develop an attitude of just taking it, just accepting whatever life dishes out. They start to accept being average and ordinary. They let life start running them. But the good news is this. Folks, you don't have to take it. You don't have to continue your life this way. You don't have to be just average and ordinary. You don't have to let everybody put you down. If you want to win, here's the first step. Folks, you've got to start believing in you again. I believe the number one problem that keeps people from winning in the United States today is lack of belief in themselves. Once you grow up and let the world push you down, you lose the confidence you had when you were growing up. But you can get it back, and you must get it back if you want to take charge of your life. Folks, the fact is, life will give you whatever you'll accept. If you'll accept being average and ordinary, life will make you average and ordinary. If you'll accept being unhappy, life will make you unhappy. If you'll accept having financial problems, life will give you financial problems. But folks, if you won't take it, if you won't accept those things, in most areas of your life, you can have anything you want. If you demand happiness, if you demand fulfillment, if you demand success, that's exactly what you'll get. Folks, life will turn out the way you see it turning out. Folks, if you're at the stage of your life right now where you've had two or three companies let you down, you're frustrated, you're unhappy, you feel like a total failure, folks, there's still hope for you. There's still time left for you to be all the person you ever wanted to be. Folks, if you want to do it badly enough, you can still change and become everything you wanted to become when you were a youngster. To do that, you've got to get the following power principles into your brain. Power principle number one. You've got to demand for yourself happiness and success. Folks, the world ain't going to give you anything. Nobody's going to come along and tap you on the shoulder and hand you an opportunity. People tap you on the shoulder and knock the daylights out of you. That's about all you get for free in this country, I'll tell you that. Most people already know that. But they think that since nobody's going to help them, they don't have a chance. Wrong again. Folks, nobody's going to walk up and hand you a great opportunity, but guess what? You don't need anybody else because you've got the power to be successful inside you. All you need to win is the belief that you deserve a place in this world and the determination to go get it. You've got to demand that for yourself. A young boy in a West Tennessee town had a tough life growing up. He had none of the advantages his schoolmates had. He wasn't even allowed to visit his best friend Jimmy because Jimmy's parents claimed that the boy was from the wrong side of the tracks. Some folks called him white trash. But the boy had a burning desire to be somebody. He had a guitar, but he didn't know how to tune it. When Jimmy's cousin, country star Alonzo Green, came to visit, the boy took his battered second-hand guitar and met the singer in a lane near the house. Feeling sorry for the boy, the singer showed him how to tune the instrument and took the time to show him a few basic chords. It wasn't much, but the boy from the wrong side of the tracks didn't expect much. All he needed was an opportunity, a chance. Just a few short years later, the boy who was believed to be not good enough by Jimmy's parents won the hearts of Americans everywhere. Elvis Presley took what little help he found, turned it into opportunity, and demanded for himself a place in the world. Power principle number two. You've got to learn to dream again. Stop telling yourself what you can't do. Start thinking about what you really want from life. Let your mind open up to the possibilities like you did in high school. Retrieve those old dreams and dust them off. Practice dreaming every day. You can feel like you did before if you let your imagination go free. Believe in yourself. Two-thirds of the battle is in your mind. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. It's true, folks. Belief in yourself is power. Power principle number three. You've got to compete. The last time most people really competed was in high school or college. Most people in our country have become pansies. In the adult world, you've got to hang on to that good feeling about yourself. You've got to see yourself winning. And you've got to get out there and compete. Our nation's greatest leader knew defeat throughout his life. He lost 8 elections, failed in business twice, and suffered a nervous breakdown. Abraham Lincoln was a champion who never stopped competing. Evil with a pattern of failure that would have left most of us devastated. He just kept competing until he won. Power principle number four. You can change. It's not too late to change. Wherever you are in your life, there's still time left to jump back in the game, to ask more from life than you've been asking in the past. All you have to do is recognize the power of believing in you and your God-given potential. You know what will happen? As we'll discuss in a moment, everybody else probably won't believe in you. Society probably won't. Your friends and relatives won't. Your spouse may not even believe in you. But you know what? If you believe, none of that will matter. Do you ever wonder why people lose the dreams of their childhood? Dreams like becoming famous, or living in a fine home, or owning their own business, or making lots of money? I don't think it happens by chance. I found there's a definite reason that people seem to just self-destruct. It's impossible to get away from the failure messages. We have been programmed to think in our country, if you're born rich, if you're born on the right side of the tracks, you're the privileged class. You go to college, you get the good jobs. But if you're born poor or come from an average, ordinary background like I did, you must give up your big dreams and your big hopes and your big ambitions. If you have a high IQ, they rule you brilliant. If you have an average or low IQ like me, they say you're supposed to drive a truck or be a janitor. Well, bull. No one can accurately judge a person by looking at his background. College degrees and IQs aren't the secret. The key to winning in business is what's inside a person. Character abilities, people abilities, integrity are the most important abilities. Common sense is far more important than book sense. You can give in to the failure message and be a bitter, frustrated, deadbeat full of excuses if you want to. Or you can choose to be happy and positive and excited and pumped up about life. When I coached at Kendrick High School in Columbus, Georgia, a black student came up to me one day. His name was Rudy Allen. He was a little old bitty thing in the eighth grade. He played in the band. He said, "Coach, I want to play football, and I want to be the first black quarterback at this school." Now you talk about handicaps. This boy was at a high school in Georgia. He was skinny, not the athletic type, but he had a dream. He wanted to be somebody. He'd get out there and throw and work and throw and work long after all the other kids had gone home to watch TV. His junior year, Rudy led us to a championship. 2 years later, he received a full athletic scholarship to Georgia Tech and played quarterback there too. Now folks, do you think Rudy heard the failure messages? If anyone ever heard them, he did. But Rudy made a choice, and you have the same choice to make in your life today. Now, you've discovered why you stopped dreaming, and you're on the way to believing in you again. You know what the secret to winning is not. It's not talent. It's not looks. It's not a college degree. It's not a privileged background. So what is it? I can explain it to you in just one word. Are you ready? Get ready. The secret to winning is desire. Desire. It's more powerful than any other ingredient in the winning formula. Some people want to win so bad, they can't stand it. They get up every morning and go to bed every night dreaming about winning. One of the most sensational boxing matches in this century was held between Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler. Leonard challenged Hagler for the middleweight championship of the world. But there were some problems. Sugar Ray retired from boxing because of a detached retina in his eye. He had been warned by his doctors that a blow to his eye could cause total blindness. It was crazy for Sugar Ray to consider getting back in the ring. He was already an Olympic champion, a professional boxing champion, wealthy. He had everything going for him. He hadn't been training. He wasn't even close to being in the same condition as the fierce Hagler, and he couldn't afford to take a chance on a hit to the eye. But nobody understood Leonard's desire. He was a winner. He had the heart of a champion. He had to prove one more time that he was the greatest middleweight to ever get inside the ring. He just wanted it so bad. He was eaten up with it. Leonard went back to training with a vengeance. On the night of the fight, the world watched as Leonard beat Hagler, not by fluke, not by knockout, but by being tougher and lasting longer to regain his title of middleweight champion of the world. Desire is the secret. You can have everything else in the world going for you, but if you don't have desire to be somebody, if you don't want to go out there and change your own destiny, there's no hope for you. But if you do, if you want to be somebody, if you want it bad enough, no obstacles can stop you. If you've got desire, you can be anything you want to be in America today, provided you have two things. Number one, a specific goal, and number two, a plan. When I was just getting started selling term insurance part-time, something happened that changed my life. At that time, I had discovered term life insurance and become a real crusader for a cause. I'd always had a burning desire to become successful, but now, finally, my newfound crusade had given me a cause worth fighting for. I was ready to do it, but I didn't know how to begin. Then something revolutionary happened. I went to a sales seminar and the speaker said, "If you haven't read Think and Grow Rich, run to the nearest bookstore and get a copy." I'm a slow reader, so I only made it to page 36. But what I found on that page of Napoleon Hill's book literally changed my life. Hill spent his entire lifetime studying successful people. He was looking for the common denominator that made all these special people successful. He found that every successful person he studied had two things going for him. Number one, they set a specific goal, and number two, they devised a plan for achieving that goal. Hill came up with his own six-step plan. I followed that plan. I stuck to that plan. And you know what? It worked. I'm not kidding now. I believe these six steps can change your life. I'm modifying Hill's words a little bit here, but let me go over these basic six steps. Step number one, you must have a specific goal. At the time, I was making $10,700 a year as athletic director and head football coach at Kendrick High School in Georgia. I was earning another $10,000 to $15,000 a year part-time income selling term insurance and investments. I agonized for days, and I decided that for me, the most important thing was financial independence for my family. I figured that meant enough money to have an income of $30,000 a year. I had my plan. Now today that doesn't sound very ambitious, but it seemed like a fortune to me at that time. If I could just accumulate $300,000 in cash and get 10% interest, I could withdraw $30,000 each year forever without touching the principal. Step number two, you must have a specific time in which to achieve your goal. I was 28, so I gave myself 10 years. I would be financially independent by my 38th birthday. I committed to whatever work and sacrifice were necessary for 10 years. Step number three, you must write down your goal. Everything seems more important when it's in writing. When you make a commitment to a specific goal, write it down. Put it where you can see it every day. I wrote mine down on a piece of cardboard and put it on my daily calendar. Step number four, you must develop a plan to achieve your goal. I had been selling insurance part-time for 2.5 years. I had saved all the money I'd made at that and had $42,000 in my savings account. If I could get a 10% return on my savings, that $42,000 would grow to $100,000 in 10 years. That was great, but I was still $200,000 short of my goal. At 10% interest, I would have to save roughly $1,000 a month for 10 years to get that extra $200,000. Now I had my plan. If I had the guts to invest my $42,000 for 10 years and invest $1,000 a month for 10 years, I'd accumulate $300,000. And at 10% interest, that'd give me $30,000 a year for the rest of my life. Step number five, you must decide the price you're willing to pay. Saving $1,000 a month from commission income was going to be tough, but nobody said financial independence was easy. It was all a matter of how important my dream of financial freedom was to me. I knew I couldn't do it on my coach's salary. I would have a better chance if I went full-time in the insurance business. I believed in what I was doing, but I loved coaching too. Yet there was no way I could achieve my goal and stay in coaching. My price would be to give up coaching. That was the toughest decision I ever made in my life, tougher than anything that would come later. I had grown up wanting to be a coach. All I dreamed about as a youngster was being a coach. My dad was a coach. I had a very successful coaching career. I was real secure. But my dreams for me and my family came first. I burned all my bridges. I started my new life. Step number six. You must think about reaching your goal every day. Not one day went by that I didn't dream and think about the goal I'd set, thinking about how great it would be to be financially independent. That kept me going the millions of times every day I wanted to throw in the towel and go back and coach football for a living. Dadgummit, folks, I'm telling you, don't pass over this section lightly. We're talking here about something that can help you change your life. If you're serious about doing something special with your life, sit down today and get started with those six principles. Desire. Desire has a power all its own. It's not a fluke. Desire is such a powerful force that once you begin to act on desire, a pattern develops that will take you all the way on your road to success. Principle number one, desire gains strength when it has concrete form. Napoleon Hill recognized an important truth. Goal setting is the key to focusing your desire into a workable form. There's no mystery to it. Goal setting does three very important things. First, goal setting forces you to decide exactly what your dream is. Forcing yourself to set goals makes you take a long, hard look at what you really want out of life. Second, goals turn want to into to do. Once you decide what you want and work out a reasonable strategy for achieving it, you'll know exactly what to do when you get up every day. Third, having a goal helps you measure your progress. In other words, it keeps you from cheating. Principle number two, desire becomes an obsession. Once you set your specific goal, you've got to keep it in front of you at all times. You've got to make it an obsession. Write it down. Read it every day. Read it many times every day. Think about it until it becomes as much a part of you as breathing. Principle number three, desire becomes commitment. Once you've rooted your desire so firmly in your mind that you think about it all the time, your desire becomes a commitment. You're ready to go beyond thinking and dreaming and really commit to winning, to devoting your energy and time to obtaining your desire. In all my years of business, I've seen a definite pattern in the way commitment works. It's not instant. You don't develop it overnight. Even when you think you have it, you usually don't. I've observed that nearly all people go through three stages before they reach the level of commitment that will see them through the disappointments and heartaches. The first stage is the lying stage. Deep down, you aren't sure you can do it, but you can't admit it to anyone, not even yourself. You spend your whole life lying to everybody. You act excited. You're pumped up about an opportunity. You're turned on about life, but then it happens. You go home at night. You go into the bathroom. You close the door. You look at that person in the mirror, and you say to yourself, "Who are you kidding? Oh, what have you ever done in your life? You think somebody like you is going to make $100,000 a year? Why don't you just admit it? People like you don't make it. Just throw in the towel. Go on back and coach football for a living." Once you're through the lying stage, you enter what I call the second stage, and that's the quitting stage. You've gone out there and paid a fantastic price for 2, 3, maybe 5 months. Then you lose a client, or you hear a string of no's. You start saying, "I've had it, I'm sick and tired of all this, I'm going to go out and get a good job." But you find out the great opportunity you want just doesn't exist out there in the real world. So you say, I guess there ain't any good jobs in this country for people like me. I'm so sick and tired of losing, I'm so sick and tired of having financial problems and seeing other people get ahead, I can't stand it. Right now, I'm going to change. Right now, I'm going to start all over. I'll work 3 times as hard. You're looking at one dude who's going all the way to the top. Now, all of a sudden, you get through the quitting stage. Now, you've made that final commitment. You've burned all your bridges. Now, you're ready to begin your road to greatness. Now, don't expect to recognize when you finally enter the real commitment stage. You won't realize it until the results of your commitment start to show. So, don't give up. The message about all this is that it's tough to make a total commitment. It's not an overnight decision. It's a long, ongoing process. Principle number four, desire becomes endurance. Once you've finally made a real commitment, desire becomes endurance. It's been my experience that it takes from 3 to 5 years to get a business, any business, off the ground. The first year and a half, everything that can go wrong will go wrong. If you don't have the quality of endurance, you might as well pack up your bags and go home the first week. Life isn't a sprint. Winning is a marathon. The ability to hang on when everything seems to be falling apart around you is the major difference between winners and losers. Gary Player is an excellent example of this. Gary Player won more international golf tournaments in his heyday than anybody else. On one particular tough day, Player was tired and frustrated, and someone came up to him and said, "I'd give anything if I could hit a golf ball like you." Player's usual politeness failed him as he replied to the spectator, "No, you wouldn't. You'd give anything to hit a golf ball like me if it was easy. You'd give anything to hit a golf ball like me if you were born hitting a golf ball like me. But nothing good comes easy. You know what price you got to pay to hit a golf ball like me? You got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You go down. You hit 1,000 golf balls. You hit so many golf balls, your hand starts bleeding. You walk up to the clubhouse. You wash that blood off your hand. You slap a Band-Aid on it. And you go down. You hit another 1,000 golf balls. Yeah, you'd love to hit a golf ball like me if it was easy. Nothing good comes easy." Desire. It's the secret ingredient. It's the key that causes people to devote their lives to a dream and keep moving forward, no matter how tough the prize. You can't see desire, but you can feel it. You can feel its presence and see its results in the lives of successful people. You know, I've developed the magic formula for winning. Ready? Here it is. I believe in these United States you beat 50% of the people in America by working hard. Most people in this country forgot how to work hard. I believe you beat another 40% by being a person of honesty and integrity and standing for something. Most people in this country are dadgum fence sitters and mealy mouths. But the last 10% is a dogfight. Understand, folks. You beat 90% of people in our country by just showing up to work, working hard, giving everything you got, being a person of integrity, do what's right. But the last 10% is a dogfight, because there's 10% of the people in this country that love it like you do. And that's the way it should be in the free enterprise system. In our industry, Prudential and some of the other giants that we were fighting had been in business for over 100 years. These were some of the biggest, most powerful, most well-known companies in the whole world. We were challenging, really, an institution. And these big, powerful companies used every competitive edge they had. There was no way a reasonable thinking human being who sat down and drew out a game plan could logically think that A.O. Williams could survive, much less become number one and win a national championship. But you know what? The way to build a national championship team is inch by inch. Rather than look at things the competition had and the things we didn't have and get depressed, we concentrated on 6 fundamentals. Number 1, become a dreamer again. Number 2, have a crusade. Number 3, dream big, but keep it simple. Number 4, always be positive. Number 5, treat people good. Number 6, never give up. I found out you can't spend your whole life comparing yourself to everybody else, especially people who've already made it. That builds tremendous depression in you and a feeling of hopelessness. You've got to understand what you've got to do to win. And the key to winning is fundamentals. Our goal at A.O. Williams was to dominate the largest industry in America, to beat companies that had been established in business for over 100 years. It looked impossible. We started in 3 states with 8 offices, 85 total people. But we started on the fundamentals, and inch by inch, getting better every day, always getting better every day. Today, we're recruiting thousands of people a month. But back then, we were recruiting maybe 5 people a month. But that's where you have to start. You can't just say, "Boy, I wish we were recruiting 10,000 people a month." You got to start with what you've got, and you got to start getting better. You must have a goal of getting better every day. We took those 5 recruits we were bringing in every month, and we started working with them. We knew we were doing something right, and we were going to have a tremendous impact on the largest industry in the world. We knew one day we were going to beat Prudential, and we started building on that. And just 6 years later, we did it. A.O. Williams became the number one seller of individual life insurance in the world. We sell more than Prudential and New York Life put together. And now stop for a minute and catch your breath. And for the next few minutes, stop thinking with your brain and think with your heart. Use that mysterious thing called imagination. First, make a wish. Fun, isn't it? And it's easy. In fact, it's so easy, so simple, so natural that you've probably never given it much thought. But you know what? It's the inspiration for winning, dreaming. The truth is, dreams are one of the most powerful success tools you have. Now I'll say something even more outrageous. Make whatever wish you dare, and it will become true. I'm serious, folks. Dadgummit, I'm serious. I believe with everything that's in me, whatever you dream about, you can achieve. How is this possible? Because if desire is the secret to winning, as I said earlier, dreaming is the secret of desire. Dreams are the fuel that fire desire. Now let's look at a few dreamers and see how they beat the odds. An inventor and drifter witnesses the deaths of a number of children who drank contaminated milk. He dreams of one day finding a way to preserve milk. The dreamer was Gail Borden of Borden's Milk and Ice Cream Company. Two tinkers set up shop in the garage of one of their homes with a dream of being on the leading edge of technology. One of their first inventions was an electronic harmonica tuner. The dreamers were William Hewlett and David Packard of Hewlett-Packard. A doctor dreams of performing a surgical procedure thought by everyone to be impossible. His goal is to achieve this dream before his arthritis prevents him from operating. The dreamer was Dr. Christian Barnard, the surgeon who developed the first successful human heart transplant. Now I know what you're thinking. You hear about these incredible dreamers and you're thinking, but I'm not like that. Don't get discouraged. You need to have a big dream, but remember, you can always expand your dreams. My wife Angela tells a story about me. She says that I've always expanded my dreams over the years as I've grown. She says I started out wanting financial security for my family. Then I wanted to be financially independent. Then I wanted to build the number one life insurance company in the world, and so on and so on. So if you can't relate to some far-off, big, giant dream, bring it down a little closer to home. Folks, the most bankrupt people in the world today are the ones who've lost their ability to dream. As we become adults, reality sets in. We discover that the world doesn't revolve around us, and we begin to lose those big dreams. They seem so far away, so unattainable. It becomes harder and harder to gather up that self-esteem we need to believe that our dreams are possible. A big obstacle you face is visualizing yourself in another role, the role of a successful person. For me, I had to see myself as someone who could make money and become financially independent. You've got to look at yourself as somebody with possibilities in your life. Not certainties, but possibilities. You've got to see yourself winning. Every day, visualize yourself winning, even if you haven't decided on the path you want to go on. Sit down for a few minutes each day. Close your eyes. See yourself on the way to being what you want to be. Visualize yourself owning your own business or changing your job. See yourself with $50,000 in your savings account or $100,000, whatever your goal is. Of all the people who knew how to visualize their dreams, I believe Walt Disney is the greatest that ever lived. After he had his business going in Hollywood, he created a staff of people called Imagineers. These creative people would help Disney put his dreams of Disneyland and motion pictures down on paper. Once others could see what he envisioned, they became excited too. His ultimate dream was Epcot, a center for a community of ideas and research. The inspiration of the Imagineers enabled Epcot to become completed even after Disney's death in 1966. You achieve what you envision. What you see, you become. A dream has a greater chance of becoming a reality if it's shared by other family members, especially your spouse. The best dreams are the ones built by two people. Talk about your dreams. Go over the steps of your goal with your spouse and your children. Put the goals in writing someplace that your family will see it often, maybe on the door of the refrigerator. Talk about how you're doing. Besides giving them a sense of involvement, you may be surprised at the support and encouragement you get. When you fall short, they can remind you of your goals and urge you on. Most people listening to this tape probably aren't interested in what I did. Your dream may not be to own your own business. Sales and marketing may not be your niche. But whatever area you choose to achieve your dream, finding an environment that encourages you to dream can make the difference. I'm no fan of corporate America, but even in the corporate world, some companies encourage people to dream big. I have so much love and respect for the people that helped start A.O. Williams. It takes people with hearts of giants to withstand some of the ridicule they took. They did it just because they were dreamers. There they were, a bunch of teachers, coaches, firemen, and policemen who held meetings in each other's homes and talked about how one day they would be among the highest paid people in their community. The odds of that coming true were probably one fraction of 1%. But in their hearts, they believed they could do it. It was their dream, and no one was going to take it away from them. Only in the free enterprise system can this happen. Folks, that's exactly where you live, in the free enterprise system. Do you have a dream? Do you believe it can happen to you? Whatever you dream about, you can become. Did you ever wonder why so many famous people seem to lead unhappy lives? Everywhere you look, magazines and books tell you stories of heartbreaks of the rich and famous. They're checking into drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers. Their third or fourth or fifth marriages are breaking up. Their families are in a mess. See, I believe these people managed to fulfill their dreams of being a movie idol, a great entertainer, or a rock star. They had the desire and the determination to stick it out until they reached their dream. Yet when they made it to the top, they were still unhappy. Their success didn't give them the instant satisfaction they thought it would. See, I've got a theory about why that happens. Remember how we talked earlier about how little kids think they're the center of the universe? Well, some people never outgrow that way of thinking. All their lives, they're obsessed by what they want. All their hopes and dreams concern themselves and nobody else. I know some people like that, and they've been very successful. But of the hundreds of successful people I've studied and admired, the people who've been the most successful, not just in terms of financial success, but in the quality of life, were the crusaders. People who have a crusade have an extra edge in life. They hang on to their dreams when the rest of us would get tired and stop. They have inner strength and inner toughness that can't be duplicated in any other way. A dream backed up by a crusade is an almost unstoppable combination. When Henry Ford came on the scene, automobiles were luxury items available only to the rich. He had a crusade to make automobiles cheaply enough that every American family could own one. Henry Ford became a multimillionaire, and today the Ford Motor Company is one of the great companies in American business history. Crusades can take all kinds of forms. They may be small or large. Sometimes, like in the case of Henry Ford, a crusade can lead to great wealth. Often it works that way. People who are committed to a crusade and give it 110% are often rewarded financially. But a crusade may not have anything to do with making money. Some of the most selfless crusades have had the most dramatic impact on the quality of life in America and the world. Crusaders have a mentality that's opposite of a small child. They have made a commitment to a cause, and they see their job as doing whatever they can to promote that cause. A crusade could be anything, in any area, but each one is unique because the individuals involved are committed to do something that has far-reaching effects beyond them and their lives. In the dog-eat-dog world of business, a lot of people think that the old moral values, the principles taught in the Bible, are stale and outdated. But crusaders stand for something. They know that how you live and how you conduct your business are more important than the bottom line. They believe that honesty and integrity are priorities, and they recognize that no cause is worth crusading for if it isn't built on a basis of goodness and rightness. So many people in America today are afraid to take a stand. They won't speak up for what they believe. Usually it's because they can't stand the heat of the opposition. We all want other people to like us. We all want to be popular. But taking a stand for what's right is the only way to be really proud of what we do. The other choice is doing what's wrong, and that's not likely to bring us any happiness or fulfillment. It's a lot better to be alone than to be in a crowd of people with low standards and values who will drag us down to their level. Steve Bartkowski, the NFL quarterback, is quoted as saying, "If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything." It's true. having convictions and believing in something bigger than ourselves are protections against all the thrills that tempt us every day with false promises of wealth and excitement. Some media people have called me the most hated man in the insurance industry today. Naturally, I don't like to hear that, and my wife doesn't either, but I have a crusade to offer the American consumer a better way of handling its protection and investment needs. If that makes me unpopular with other people in my industry, well, that's too bad, but that's not going to make me quit and go home. Let me tell you a little bit about the background of my own crusade. My daddy was a special guy. He was a football coach, too, and I guess that's what gave me the love of the game that I still have today. After working 20 years, my dad dropped dead of a heart attack at age 48. Like most people, my dad had been paying money to an insurance company for his entire adult life. A friend from our neighborhood had sold him his policies. My dad thought he was protecting us in case something unexpected happened. He had never accumulated much money like most people in middle America, but he faithfully paid his insurance premium. When that something unexpected did happen, our family was devastated. The pain of losing our dad and my mother, her husband, was bad enough, but the next devastation came when we discovered that the insurance premium my father had struggled to pay for 20 years had not bought enough insurance to replace his income. Many years later, at a family reunion, something happened that stunned me. My cousin, who was an accountant, told me that the best kind of life insurance to own was term insurance. He explained that the other kind of insurance, whole life, combined death protection with a forced savings plan that paid a low rate of interest. This bundle product was much more expensive than the cost of pure death protection, which is called term insurance. Plus, the amount saved between the cost of term and whole life could be placed in a high return savings vehicle and produce many more savings dollars for retirement. He showed me how I could buy $100,000 of low-cost term insurance for the same premium I was paying for $15,000 of whole life. I didn't believe him. If this was true, why didn't all the other companies do it? Why didn't all the other companies advertise it? He explained that most companies had term, but because they didn't make much profit from it, they made sure that agents received higher commissions for selling the more expensive product. That next week, I was tormented by what I had heard. I went to the library, and I read everything I could get my hands on about insurance. I found that all the experts said term insurance was the only way to go. That they said that most insurance agents own term on their own lives, but they sold the more expensive product to others. The more I read and studied and talked to people, the madder I got. As it turned out, that talk with my cousin was a turning point in my life. I went from being a good football coach to a crusader for term insurance. Educating consumers like myself about term insurance and investments became my crusade. Every time I thought of Angela and the kids and what could have happened to them, I just wanted to explode. But instead of exploding, I went to see three or four more people to tell them about my new discovery. See, folks, that's the difference between a job and a crusade. I found my crusade in a place where I never expected to find it. I guess you could say I found it by accident. But let me tell you this, folks. Once you find your crusade, you'll never be the same again. I can testify that a crusade is totally different from a job. Of course, you still work, and instead of working less, you'll work harder than you've ever worked in your life. The difference is that you don't mind. You've got a cause that's bigger than you are. For a few years, I worked for other companies, but in each one, I didn't like the corporate atmosphere. My crusade was buy term and invest the difference. But my dream was to reach financial independence for my family. At other companies, they appreciated good salespeople, but there was no chance to move up. I couldn't stand that, so I decided to form A.O. Williams. We've all heard the saying, a man's reach should exceed his grasp. It's true, and that's one of the best side effects of having a crusade. A crusade motivates you and others to reach higher and farther. A crusade does more than anything else to motivate people and to bring excitement to the day-to-day grind. People need a purpose. They want to commit to something bigger than a business. They want to make the world a better place to live. Some people talk about finding out what they were born to do. I do think there are those people who seem to know from day one what their mission in life is. But that's not true for all of us. I know I didn't ever dream that my crusade would be life insurance. Most of us need to look around and find something to believe strongly in, something that moves us and we feel good about. If you find something to believe in and it offers you fulfillment of your dreams, you're home free. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't say it was going to be easy. I just said it was going to be worth it. A big mistake that people make when they fail in business or even at life is trying to believe that something is better when it's difficult or complicated. I can certainly understand how people fall into this trap. With all our incredible technology, we've developed a definite lack of respect for the simple. We think that the more complicated something is, the more valuable it is. We've come to associate what is complex with what will work. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Complicated may work for machines, but it doesn't work for people. You can't let the high-tech part of our society influence you and the way you run your life or your business. You've got to keep it simple. Several years ago, a young Harvard Law and Business graduate decided to start his own business. With the help of his grandfather, a successful Wall Street investor, he thought he would build his own beverage company. After a couple of weeks in business, the two met for lunch. The grandfather asked the graduate how many customers he had. The grandson replied, "None yet. I've been very busy hunting the proper computer system." "Son, until you have customers, you don't need a computer system. You don't even need an office or a desk. You need customers." Listening to the advice of his successful mentor, the graduate put aside the lessons in strategic planning he'd learned in college and went out in search of customers. Today, his business is a true American success story. His beverages are sold across the nation. To this day, he has no office or desk. When asked why, he replies, "Because you can't sell anything to a desk." What a fabulous lesson in business. Don't let your respect for modern technology replace the fundamentals of what will make your business a success. Focus on what generates income and put your time and effort in this area. If you want to see your business take off, follow these simple steps. Number one, manage activity. To be a success in business, you've got to take action. You can't sit in a chair all day trying to analyze what's wrong with your business. You never generate any income. Number two, create little successes. Sometimes when you look at a business goal, it can seem so overwhelming that you want to give up before you even get started. A trick I learned was to break down the goal into more bite-sized parts. If my goal was to save $1,000 a month, I needed to make at least 4 sales. That was pretty intimidating. To get 4 sales, I'd probably have to make 8 to 10 presentations. To make 8 to 10 presentations, I'd need twice as many prospects because a lot of people wouldn't even make an appointment with me. But if I could manage to get just 1 prospect today and make just 2 presentations a week, I could make my 4 sales a month. This technique gave me little successes along the way, which kept me motivated. Number 3, don't get bogged down in paperwork. It was a critical point during World War II. General MacArthur and his troops were camped at the side of a big river, and they had to get across. MacArthur called in his engineer and said, "Soldier, how long will it take you to throw a bridge across that river?" The engineer replied, "3 days." MacArthur said, "Good. Have your draftsman draw up plans immediately." 3 days later, MacArthur called the engineer back into his office to ask how the bridge was coming along. "Sir," replied the engineer, "the bridge is finished, and you can take your troops across now, provided you don't have to wait for the plans. They're not done yet." Like the Harvard graduate I talked about earlier, it's so easy to get sidetracked, and paperwork can be a real killer. Especially in the tough times when you really don't want to go out there and do the plain old hard work that's necessary to win. Now you need a plan. That's critical. But you increase your chances of winning when you keep that plan simple. Maybe you're trying to make a decision on how many items to offer on your restaurant menu. Keep it simple. Or maybe you're trying to boost sales in your retail store. Keep it simple. Whatever your business is, look at it from the standpoint of how you can reduce something complicated down to something simple. Another part of simplicity is be brief. Have you ever met anyone who is afraid to write in simple language for fear others would think he was dumb? This is the person who always is looking for substitute words in the dictionary to try to give the letter a more sophisticated sound. Dumb, dumb, dumb. All of us could learn a lesson from advertising. I have a lot against advertisers because I believe they have a negative effect on our self-esteem by promoting unrealistic portrayals of life and people, but let's face it, television ads are a tremendous measure of what works with people. Where's the beef? Coke is it. We try harder. Just say no. These ads were a smash success because they had a powerful short message. So keep it simple and use the human touch. Accepting yourself for who you are is an important part of keeping it simple. You've got to believe in yourself and whatever characteristics God gave you. Don't try to change them to suit other people. You got to believe in yourself and your background. The minute you do, you'll see that people will accept you and appreciate you for who you are. The key is believing in yourself. If you don't believe in you, no one else will either. Don't be afraid to operate on a simplistic level. Stop being afraid that someone will discover you're not a brain. Are you comfortable enough with you? Do you feel good enough about you that you can be yourself and not be taken in by something that looks complicated and sophisticated? Folks, this is critical. It takes a big person to cut through all the unnecessary baloney and focus on the things that matter, the things that bring you business clients, the things that actually make money for you, not the things that make you look like you're making money. Winning is tough, but that doesn't mean it has to be complicated. Dream big, but keep it simple. It's not for sale. You don't inherit it. Nobody else can give it to you. You can't go to college and get it. But the chief weapon in your arsenal for combating society's failure messages and your own internal enemy is a positive, winning attitude. Folks, I believe you can do 99% of the things right, but not possess a positive, winning attitude, and I guarantee you'll fail. I believe that if you possess a winning attitude and you learn to make it work for you and your business and your life, you're guaranteed to win. I'll go even further. I believe a positive, winning attitude is the difference between being good and being great. I believe there are four fundamentals of developing and maintaining a winning attitude. Always be excited. Stop making excuses. Always be up and make a total commitment. Let's take a look at fundamental number one. Always be excited. I hope you're starting to realize there's no trick to winning. It's an everyday thing. It's an all-the-time thing. More than anything else, it's an attitude. And more than 90% of having a positive attitude is always being excited. It's easy to be excited when things are going great. The tough thing is being excited when things aren't going so great. When you don't feel good, or you've had a fight with your spouse, or your business looks like it's going down the tubes. But folks, it's your ability to deal with negatives or problems, to get them out of your system and go on, that determines whether or not you'll be a success. Most people can stay excited for 2 or 3 months. A few people can stay excited for 2 or 3 years. But a winner will stay excited for 20 or 30 years or as long as it takes to win. Fundamental number two. Stop making excuses. In the big leagues, excuses don't count. An important part of having a positive attitude is refusing to look for or accept a reason not to do it. Many people think that just avoiding negatives is the answer. But folks, actively pursuing positives has to be part of your basic outlook on life. I went to see two vice presidents in our company about 6 months after they moved to St. Louis. On the way back from the airport, one VP and his partner, who had moved from Colorado, began to tell me how tough it was in their new city. Boy, Art, you see that license plate out there? In Missouri, the theme is, show me. These people are a little more skeptical than people where I come from. One of them went on to explain that the people in Colorado believed a little quicker and bought a little quicker and came to work a little quicker. That was the reason business wasn't doing so well. That afternoon, we had a manager's meeting, and I told them that the day before I'd been in Cleveland, and the guy I stayed with there was telling me how much he loved Cleveland, how he was hoping his business was going to start doing great soon. But he had found out the folks in Cleveland were just a little different than the folks were in Atlanta where he came from. Can you guess? They were a little more skeptical in Cleveland. They were a little less quick to buy in Cleveland. You know what? People are people everywhere. The guys who had moved to the new areas were just a little less confident, a little bit more hesitant. There wasn't any difference in people in those other places. The difference was in their attitude. Life is 10% what you make it and 90% how you take it. Fundamental number 3, always be up. Always be up. Folks, you can see life as a pain in the neck or a beautiful, wonderful experience. You've got to make a decision. You've got to always be up about life. You've got to always be up about your business, your family, your people. I didn't say it's easy. Experience has taught me that it's human nature to worry. Every piece of flesh on this earth worries. That's just part of living. That's the way it is. Folks, it's easier to be negative than positive. The toughest thing in the world is to be positive. It's tough to stay excited. It's tough to be positive. It's tough to be happy. It's tough to continue to work. But remember, 99% of the things you worry about never happen. So don't waste your time. You can do 2 things to help you stay up. First, don't let the losers, the complainers, the poor mouthers, the criticizers change you and make you like them. You've got to eliminate as many negatives from your life as possible. Some people just drain your batteries. They see the bad in everything. You know that type. Don't listen to them. Make a point of staying away from those people. Don't be taken by people who complain as a way of life. Surround yourself with positive, excited, happy people who love what they're doing. Be an example of a positive attitude yourself. Second, pass negatives up and positives down. This is something I constantly emphasize in our company. Whatever level you're in management, find someone at your level or above. When you have a problem, you can talk it over with them. Get it out of your system. That way you're not tempted to pass your disappointments and frustrations down to the people you supervise. Your people should never see you negative. They should always see you up, always see you positive, always see you blowing and going. Fundamental number 4, make a total commitment. Burn all your bridges. A total commitment gives you that little extra ounce of courage that it takes to win. Paula Smith, one of our great national sales directors, was a college professor in Georgia. After teaching for several years, Paula was burned out and frustrated. Paula decided she wanted out of education and into the business world. To make a long story short, Paula decided to take a leave of absence from teaching and go to work with us. The first 8 to 9 months were hard for her. At the end of 10 months, she came to see me. In 2 months, her leave of absence would be up, and she had to go back to teaching or resign her position. She told me how much she loved the company and how badly she wanted to stay, but she just couldn't face losing her teaching job. What if something went wrong? How could she give up the security of that job for a job that paid commissions? That was just the problem. As long as Paula knew she had something to go back to, she could avoid making a total commitment to A.O. Williams. She wasn't really giving it all she had. She liked what she was doing, but she wasn't excited about what she was doing. I didn't hear from Paula for 4 or 5 weeks. Then one day she called. She said, "Art, I haven't been able to sleep. I've had that security blanket on my mind, but you know what? I can't go back and teach. That's what I wanted to leave. I'm scared to death, but I'm going to do it. I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I know I'm supposed to be somebody." Paula resigned her teaching job, picked up her son, and moved to Augusta, Georgia. 3 months later, she was paid more in a single month than she had ever been paid before in a year. 3 months after that, she did so well, she was promoted to regional vice president. Now Paula's one of the top leaders in our company. Total commitment. Until Paula burned all her bridges, until Paula Smith said, "This is what I'm going to do. Here's where I'm going to take my stand. Here's where I'm going to do something special." She did badly. But the minute she decided to go for it, her whole life changed. If you don't remember anything else I say, if you don't remember anything else in this tape, remember the 3 rules that are critical to success in all areas of life. Number 1, always be positive. Number two, always be positive. Number three, always be positive. No matter what your business or career is, you can't do it alone. The more success you have, the more likely it is that you will have other people on your success team. How you treat those people can make the difference in whether your business takes off or falls flat. You must treat them with honesty and integrity before you expect them to treat you in the same way. Before you can be successful, you must believe in the goodness of people. Unfortunately, most people don't. Most people have been so hurt, so disillusioned, so disappointed by other people that they just can't believe that human beings have the potential of being good. Instead, they say, everybody's out to cheat me. Everybody's out to take advantage of me. I better do it to them before they do it to me. You know, folks, other people are pretty much like you. That's important to remember. Sure, there are some bad people in the world, but most of the time, the people you hire and deal with at work are just as scared of being cheated by you as you are scared of being cheated by them. They've been hurt, too, and as much as you'd like to think they can tell you're different, they're just as hesitant to trust you as you are them. The best way to turn that situation around is to start understanding people and treating them the way you'd like to be treated. How do you start your business on the road to success through the treat people good philosophy? The answer is praise. Nothing encourages people to work harder and produce quality results like having their accomplishments noticed and praised. Everybody wants praise for a job well done. If you start praising for successful behavior, the person will want to get that kind of recognition again. He'll be anxious to repeat the actions that gave him such good feelings of accomplishment. When you want to praise people for something they've done right, it's great to tell them. But it's even greater if you tell them in front of other people. To the people you're praising, it's even more pleasant. And to the people listening, it's motivation to do what it takes to get praise for themselves. Public recognition is a principle that I live by in my business. Every meeting, every convention, we set aside time for recognizing people who turned in great performance. And I found it's important to do more than just talk. Give people some memento of your recognition, like a plaque or a trophy. People love recognition, and it doesn't matter if it's a $5 t-shirt. I can go to a meeting where people are making $500,000 a year, $1 million a year, and give out t-shirt awards. Now, these are the top people in the company. They have nice homes. They've traveled all over the world. These are adults. These are leaders. You know, they come to a meeting, and if they don't get an award, they get downright upset. It's amazing how much a t-shirt can mean to them and how determined they'll be to never miss getting another one. That just shows that you can't ever get too much recognition. You can't get too big or too important or make too much money that you don't want to be appreciated and praised. Just as people will do almost anything to get your praise, folks, believe me, they'll sure notice it if they don't get it. Withdrawing praise is 10 times more effective than criticizing. People hunger for praise so much, they'll do whatever it takes to get your praise and recognition again. And you haven't been forced to say anything mean or nasty or make any threats that cause bad relationships. Here are some guidelines for using praise to become a master motivator. Number one, praise people for everything. Praise their attitude, praise their ideas, praise their success. Nothing good is too small or too minor to praise. Number two, know the individual's first name and use it. During my speeches, I use the first names of people I see in the audience. Folks, always remember, first names is one of the great things you can do to motivate and build up people. Number three, make sure everyone hears your praise. Sometimes the people who aren't being praised get as much motivation from it as your hero. They'll give that extra effort so they'll be praised next time. Number four, have fun with praise. Be creative with your recognition. I give 6-foot trophies and door-sized plaques. Number five, use praise, not criticism, to get results. Don't fuss at people who are doing wrong. Praise the people who are doing it right. And the other people will get the idea. For example, if sales are down, make heroes out of the top salespeople. This gets the non-producers out there trying to earn praise for themselves. Number 6, praise people when they are down and hurting. Know when your people are down, and be there to remind them one more time that they can do it, that they're special, that they're going to be somebody. Number 7, folks, don't ever forget that praise must be sincere. You can never give too much praise as long as it's sincere and from the heart. People can smell a phony a mile away. Number 8, praise at home. Folks, these principles work wonders with your family life too. Start with your spouse. Start with your children. Don't ever miss an opportunity to praise them and make them feel special. Number 9, folks, don't ever stop praising. You may have to praise a person 1,000 times before they win, but if you only praise them 999 times, you lose. Another fallacy taught in some of these college business school courses is that managers must keep their distance from their employees. Bull. Your people are the lifeblood of your company. Their lives and their careers are directly related to your business success. Next, following some simple guidelines will mean more to your business than learning how to be tough. Guideline number 1. Others don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Folks, you may be business geniuses, but if your people don't know you care about them, your business won't get very far. Know your people by name. Know their families. Get to know them as people and really care about them as people, as human beings. Guideline number 2. Live with your people through good times and bad times. Don't just support people when everything's going great. The deepest relationships are formed in the tough times. If you stick with your people then, you'll build a relationship that will stand up against any business problem in the future. Guideline number 3. Don't be afraid to show emotion. Most people today are so afraid to show emotion in their business lives that they end up acting like they don't have any at all. Folks, be human. Don't be afraid to laugh. Don't be afraid to cry. Touch people. Hug people. I've never met a single person in my life yet who doesn't like to be hugged. Guideline number 4. Make an unconditional commitment. Folks, the people who work with you in your business need the same kind of commitment that you make in other areas of your life. All parents know that sometimes the kids need you and sometimes they want to do it themselves. Sometimes they're wonderful and sometimes they're a pain. It's the same with your people. The difference is that many leaders like their people in the good times, but drop them like a hot potato when it gets a little difficult. Folks, you wouldn't do that with your kids, would you? The people you choose for your team deserve the same unconditional commitment that you give other important people in your life. Folks, when it's all said and done, products don't win for you, services don't win for you, business plans don't win for you, people win for you. Your people are your greatest asset. Treat people good, and they'll respond to you and your business with a new kind of commitment and a new kind of enthusiasm. You'll feel better about your business, and you'll feel better about yourself. Now, you've worked hard. You know you got the desire. You have a dream to inspire you. You have a crusade for a cause that's bigger than your business. Still, nothing seems to be working. You've run head-on into a situation you've had nightmares about. This is the time that shows what you're really made of. You're facing the toughest challenge you'll ever have, the temptation to quit. I know about this period firsthand. When I was first trying to get my business going, there were a bunch of nights I laid my head on the pillow feeling like the game was over. I couldn't see how I could pull it out one more time. I couldn't find any possible solution to my problems. Whenever you bump up against one of these tough times, use these 2 fundamentals to help you hang tough. Fundamental number 1, use the magic of 30 days. Almost anyone can do almost anything for 30 days. When you feel like quitting, make one last surge with a 30-day goal. Folks, it has to be a fairly tough goal. The purpose here is to revitalize your business or your life. It's not time for a mediocre effort. Set a stiff goal and plan to do it for 30 days straight. I don't know what the magic of 30 days is, but I've learned from experience that for some reason, that length of time works best. It's short enough for you to see an end in sight, and it's long enough to allow you to build some momentum. I know that a blitz is the last thing you feel like doing when times are tough, but you can do anything if you know it's for a short period of time. It's the best way I know to stop thinking about quitting and do something that will create enough success to eliminate the thought altogether. Fundamental number two, give your efforts time to compound. The biggest frustration I have when I see people quit is that oftentimes they were so close to a turnaround, it was unbelievable. They couldn't see it, but if they just hung on just a little bit longer, their business would have started to fall into place. More often than not, the problem is impatience. It's not that they failed totally, it's that they just haven't succeeded fast enough. Folks, give yourself time to succeed. Every contact you make, every client you see, every personal relationship you build is part of the investment you make in your business. Over a period of time, these investments pay off. Now it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty. I never said making it was going to be easy. I just said it was going to be worth it. Next, the following points aren't the most positive points on the tape, but I know from experience that they're true. That doesn't mean you can't survive. I just want you to know the facts so you'll realize that your situation is no worse than anybody else's, and I want to try to prevent you from giving up when you encounter these realities. Let's tell it like it really is. Fact number one, folks, you never get used to rejection. Just because you love what you're doing doesn't mean that everybody's going to love it too. Even though you know you're right, don't expect the world to automatically jump on your bandwagon. That doesn't mean you shouldn't keep pushing. Keep doing what you know is right for you. When you do face rejection, just remember all the people who do believe in you. And listen to that little voice inside that says, I know I'm right, and nothing will keep me from succeeding. Fact number two, things are never as good as they seem or as bad as they seem. Folks, when things are going good, you can never assume that means you're home free. When things are going bad, you can't assume that your business is shot and your career is over. This business of life is nothing but a business of momentum. During the good times, don't get complacent. During the bad times, don't start doubting whether you're going to do it or not. Stay inspired. Stay up. Fact number three, before you can be good, you've got to be bad. Folks, expecting to start out a winner is usually unrealistic. Before you can be great, you've got to be good. Before you can be good, you've got to be bad. But before you can even be bad, you've got to try. If you're just trying right now, you're on your way. Don't worry about it if you know you aren't the greatest. You'll get there. Folks, there are some tricks that make it a little easier to keep a positive attitude and stay up most of the time. First, don't compare yourself to others. Give yourself a chance. I tell the people at my company that the millionaires of tomorrow are on the bottom of the leaders' bulletins today. And I believe that. It's like the old saying, you don't have to always have the lead if you have the heart to come from behind. Second, don't get discouraged. Folks, discouragement is at the bottom of so many negative actions. You'll face it every single day of your life. How you handle discouragement each and every day goes a long way in determining your success or failure in reaching your dreams. Third, don't almost do enough. Most people almost work hard enough to win. Most people almost hang in there long enough to win. Most people almost have enough determination to win. Most people do almost enough to win. Folks, don't get discouraged. Don't almost do enough. No matter how tough it gets, just keep calling the plays. Somebody's going to score sooner or later, and it might as well be you. All these principles won't do you a bit of good if you never act on them. There's got to be action for you to win. Talk is cheap. Everybody in this dadgum country can talk a good game, but a winner goes out and does something. When you do it, you just go out there and do whatever it takes for you to win. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your friends can't do it for you. Your people can't do it for you. You and only you can go out there and make your dreams a reality. Here are some points that I hope will help you today when you finish this tape and you go do it. One, do adopt the little bit more principle. The people who make the most money worked hard and a little bit more. They paid the price and a little bit more. They were committed and a little bit more. They were good people and a little bit more. Two, do pick one thing to go far. You can't do everything. You can't be everything. You can't be great in every single area. So many people get interested in one thing and try for a little while. When it doesn't work out or they get bored, they quit and move on to a new area. The best way you can go for it is to pick one thing and make it your life's work. Folks, give it 111% and simply refuse to admit the possibility of defeat. Three, do learn to be flexible. In business, the rules of winning can change overnight. The businesses of the future and the people running them have got to be flexible. You've got to be able to adjust to change. You've got to learn to roll with the punches, listen to your common sense, and always be prepared to make adjustments if the situation calls for it. Four, do find yourself a hero. Everybody needs some inspiration from time to time. When you're discouraged and down in the dumps, read about your hero. It will help to remind you that all great people had some big setbacks, but they didn't stop pursuing their dreams. Five, do always play scared. Playing scared is different from being scared. If you play scared, you keep your eye out for what could go wrong. Follow the numbers game principle. The only way to keep from losing is to have a number of possibilities. If you need 10 sales to make your income goal, make 15 or 20. Playing scared means socking money away when things are going good just in case you have a slump. It means working like today might be your last chance, even if you know it isn't. If you don't play scared, you'll get caught. One final note. Folks, don't sit around waiting. I promise that you don't get something for nothing in this world. Don't spend your life just dreaming about doing it. A lot of people will try to do it. A lot of people will want to do it. A lot of people will almost do it, but the winners will do it. Now, take time out with me one more time before you start on your road to your personal dream of success. Folks, let's say you reach your goals, you get all the success, you get all the achievement, you get all the recognition from your working life than you ever wanted. But wait. Folks, you can have all the success in the world, make all the money in the world, but if you don't have your priorities straight, you're going to be a failure. If you don't win in all areas of your life, you're ultimately a loser. There's so much more to life than winning in business. Don't tell me that you're a winner if you make a lot of money, but you fail in your personal life, you fail with your spouse, you fail with your kids, and your other personal relationships. Don't blow it. Here are some warnings. Warning number one, don't compromise your integrity. Everyone faces temptations every day in business in small ways that call for compromises. Folks, it's easy to pass off the little lie or the small accounting procedure when it would help you out or work towards your benefit. You can say nobody will know. Everybody does it, right? Wrong. Folks, I take a hard line on honesty and integrity issues. I'll terminate a person 10 times more quickly for an action that involves a lack of decency, a lack of integrity, than for a mistake that'll cost the company a lot of money. Warning number two, handle your money wisely. It doesn't matter if your income is modest or substantial. It's important to be a good steward of whatever money you have. If you aren't wise, if you aren't conservative in this area, folks, you'll blow it. Here's a hint to tell you if you're on the right track in your business or your career. If the people around you don't say you're cheap or accuse you of being a miser, at least in a joking way, you're probably not running the financing of your business in the right way. With most people, the first month they have a big increase in income, they go out and buy a big house, a boat, a vacation home, or some other luxury. Don't do it. You're not allowing for those lows that are bound to come. Don't spend. Just double or triple your investment program. The payoff will be a lot greater in the long run. Warning number three. You can't be selfish or self-centered. Be on the lookout for the symptoms of this disease in yourself. You say me, my, mine, instead of us, or the team, or together. What you want and need dominates your thinking. You rarely think of the needs or wants of others. All of your efforts are directed at your success. You stopped helping other people achieve their goals. You see the success of others as a threat to your own success. If you recognize any of these symptoms in yourself, take some time out and think about what I call the giving principle of life. The heart of the giving principle is the Bible. In the 6th chapter of Luke it says, "Give and it will be given to you." If you don't give to others in all areas of your life, including your business life, you won't continue to grow and develop. Make giving to others a way of life. It's just not about religion. It's about feeling good about people and, as a bonus, feeling good about yourself and your life. Warning number 4. Have the right priorities. Truly successful people know the secret of living a balanced life. They manage to strike a critical balance between their business life, their personal life, and their spiritual life. It always breaks my heart to see people in business who believe that the way to succeed is to put 100% of their effort in their business and neglect their family. Those people may succeed in their business life, but they'll wake up one day to discover that a business is all they have. So many people realize too late that no life based on business success alone is a happy life. As they become successful, a lot of people get the idea that they don't need anything except themselves. People can easily become too materialistic, worshiping their accomplishments instead of God. They see the results of their achievements or their efforts, and they take the credit rather than give the credit to God. And they become egotistical instead of humble. If you let your spiritual life take a back seat to everything else, if you let your spiritual life fall apart, you're denying yourself the inner peace and strength that can carry you through the tough times in your life. Folks, don't let yourself fall into the pattern of thinking that God is just for Sunday. Remember right and wrong. Remember your spiritual life. The rewards are tremendous. Fill your life with the richness of spiritual fulfillment and family joy, and your goals and your dreams of success will be 100 times more exciting and more enjoyable when you reach them. Now, are you ready to do it? You've got the keys, at least as I've experienced them in my career in business. If you use them and take this message to heart, folks, I don't just hope it'll help you. I know it'll help you. At A.O. Williams, I've seen thousands and thousands of people completely change the pattern of their lives just by making the decision to take charge of their own life. Many people are waiting for something special to happen to them. They haven't realized that life doesn't give you what you would love to have. Life doesn't give you what you want. Life gives you what you will accept. The world isn't going to stop and wait for you. The only thing you can count on is that time just keeps on going. You see, you and I are here for just a flicker. The United States is going to be here way after we're gone, right? I don't know any quicker way to fail than to worry about how the world is going to pieces, and the economy is bad, and things are worse than they've ever been, and so on and so on. You turn on the news for 30 minutes, and when you turn it off, you're just so depressed you can hardly stand it. But folks, we're here for just a flicker. I don't know if we're going to have a war, but I'm not going to sit around in my easy chair and worry about it. I don't know if somebody's going to drop a bomb on us, but I'm not going to put my whole life on hold waiting to find out. Your life is just a flicker, right? Folks, take time to focus on you and your place in the world just the way it is. The person in the mirror is your final accountant each and every day of your life. Late at night, when you go in the bathroom and close the door, he or she is there. The bad part is, you can't fool that person in the mirror. It's your own judgment and nobody else's that really matters. And if you can't look yourself straight in the eye, you failed. You failed you. But when you're in there in the bathroom with that person late at night, it doesn't matter what the world says about you. You know what the score really is. You know whether you can look at that person and smile, or whether you look and see the man or woman who might have been, but wasn't. Folks, dadgummit, go do it. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Don't keep holding back thinking you're protecting yourself from disappointment. You're only protecting yourself from life. Folks, 10 years ago, I looked in the mirror and I didn't like Art Williams. All my life, I had never done what I wanted to do. I wasn't the athlete I wanted to be. I wasn't the coach I wanted to be. I wasn't the business leader I wanted to be. My life was just one series of almost making it after another. And 10 years ago, I made up my mind for one time I was going to try. No excuses, I was going to try. And then and only then would I be able to look in the mirror and like Art Williams. 10 years later, I've become somebody I'm proud of. Folks, let me ask you to do something next weekend. Take some time to just sit around and think. Get away for a little while and just think. Think about where you are, where you've been. Make up your mind that you're not going to let anybody or anything tell you that you can't do it. Make up your mind that you're going to be happy, that you're going to be positive. Make up your mind to build a better life than you've had in the past, and that you're going to do it now. Think about how bad you want to be somebody. Think about how bad you want to win. Think about the price you're willing to pay, and think about the alternative to winning. See yourself doing something big again. Dream again. Dadgummit, folks, go out and reach for the stars. Folks, how many more chances will you have? You know, it's a shame how much we take life for granted. We think we've got all the time in the world. Not true. How many more chances will you have to be somebody? See, I don't believe there's just one opportunity in your life to be somebody. I believe everybody has a number of chances to make it big, to be somebody they're proud of. But I believe the number one reason most people fail is time runs out. Everybody just keeps looking for this one thing, looking for this one thing, and time runs out. Folks, think about it long and hard. Quit running. Decide to be the person you were meant to be. Go for it. Dadgummit, go for it. You don't have to do everything perfectly to win. You just have to do all that you can. Because all you can do is all you can do, but all you can do is enough.